All right, I want to welcome everybody tonight to the September 1st Town Council meeting 2022. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Are we all good on Zoom?
I think so.
Yep. Okay. So we have a full council here tonight. All of us are present, and it looks like we've got a good group here. So. All right, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance first. Everybody take off their hats and stand, and we'll. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, first thing we're going to do is approve the agenda. So we had to change a couple of these around. Does anybody see anything that needs to be discussed or changed or added? All right.
I make a motion to accept the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Gladys, aye.
Elizabeth?
Aye.
Steve, aye.
Jim, aye.
Judy, aye. Okay, the agenda is approved. Next on the agenda is approving the August minutes. We're going to keep this meeting a lot shorter than last. has everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes.
There was only one thing on here that I saw, and it's on page 4, I think. We didn't remember these, but it's down there where it talks about the minutes. And it says that the public gets the minutes within 15 days, but it's 15 working days. That should be 15 working days. Okay, that's the only thing I saw.
I have a change on the third page for the Birch Grove Landfill. The trees are actually the town's, they're not Rod's trees.
Okay, so
halfway down, right after it says 4 to 12, it says Jimmy also talked to Rod Peterson about trimming his tree back to the town's trees.
Okay. Anybody else got any additions or? All right, then I'll entertain a motion to approve these minutes with the two corrections. Okay, have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, the minutes have been approved with those two corrections then. All right. Next on is a discussion on prayer. So I'll give you a little history. It is absolutely legal to have prayer, but we heard that some people didn't want it in the meeting. So first we decided to have it in the office 5 minutes before the meeting. And then somebody objected to that, saying because we were all together, we could have talked about town business. So we decided to do it out in the hall and leave the door open and invite everybody out. So that's what I would like to do. We didn't get it done today only because we were at the last minute. So has anybody got any other discussion on the council? And the door will be open, huh? Yep, anybody who wants to come can
come. So you're suggesting it not being on a agenda item, but just prior to the meeting?
Yep, just prior out in the hall. We'll open up the door there, invite everybody out. And if we need to record it, we'll record it. I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem with being on the agenda. I mean, I know that you had said it. I looked it up after you put it out on the draft agenda. And, you know, it is legal in the state of Utah. Then there can't be any question of if we're including people or not and what things are. Tropic has it on their town council as part of their agenda. Garfield County does for their
County.
The one thing that maybe if people are concerned about it, that's saying calling it a reverence. I looked up like Utah State Board of Education. They have it in the beginning as reverence, and it's open that anyone can, right? So it's not, it's any denomination can come forward, people can offer a poem, and it's just a moment, but it's not like a free-for-all. It's if someone wants to lead it that month or that meeting, that they would just have to let someone know, and otherwise, whether it's you or anyone else. I think I'm more in favor of it including it, so then there isn't a later people being like, well, you're doing something as a quorum that's not in the meeting, right? And you can't, because as soon as you open the meeting, that's when the recording starts. So then there's no debate whether, I do see that it's people, the concerns have been that it's, yeah, it's an unnecessary conflict or unnecessary division, which I definitely am all for avoiding conflict. But I think that, and maybe, you know, I don't know what other people think, like calling it something else, making sure other people know that they're welcome to participate. I don't know.
Well, this job's a tough enough job and I need all the help I can get. I'm calling on who I know can help me.
Gladys, what's your experience in the past, whether here or elsewhere?
There was a time when, you know, it wasn't okay. Now, apparently it is. So.
I'm good with it.
So how do you feel about doing it at the meeting or doing it in the hall?
I'm fine sitting in the hall when people walk to, they can, if they don't walk to, they don't have
to. It's open doors.
It's not private.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. That way, people who want to be involved can't be.
Okay.
Those who don't want to be involved don't have to.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. That's the way we'll do it then. All right. Next is the public hearing on Ordinance 2022-3, allowing electronic meetings. This was the one that John discussed last month, and we decided to bring it to the September Town Council, and because we had to have a public hearing, actually. So it was advertised, and so now we're going to address it tonight. So we will close the open meeting. I'll make a motion to close the open meeting. Do I have a second?
Gladys will second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. And so now we will, I make a motion that we open the public hearing on Ordinance 2022-3, allowing electronic meetings. Do I have a motion to do that?
I want to make that motion.
Okay. Second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Yes, Gladys.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, the public hearing is now open on this ordinance. I can read it real quickly. John Brandt went over it.
Well, I was going to say, John's here if he wants to do any introduction to it. If you want to.
Yeah. Do you have to change this microphone?
Please, yes. And anybody that's speaking, come up to a microphone, give your name so that it can be recorded.
Okay, my name is John Brandt. I drafted this ordinance as a courtesy for the mayor, so it's really not planning commission business, but citizen involvement, I guess. And the reason for it is going through some of the stuff that Utah League of Cities and Towns puts out. They flag when there's legislative changes. The big change was that the legislature not required that the electronic meetings resolution or ordinance specify how a quorum is determined. Up to now, the town has been working under a resolution of 2020-2 that was done under Steve Cox. This basically just formalizes and makes it permanent. I say, whereas electronic meetings have allowed participation, discussion, and voting on town business where circumstances have made physical presence unsafe or inconvenient. And I think that's been true for both planning and town council and also Board of Adjustment. That electronic meetings have facilitated citizens observing the meetings and making public comments. Again, I think it's just wonderful the number of citizens who are able to observe us tonight. That's great for public transparency and public participation. Whereas recent revisions to the Utah Open and Public Meetings Act require updating the 2020 resolution be it ordained by the town council. So what I did here is I said the town council, the planning commission, the board of adjustments, which had actually been left out of the 2020 resolution, and any other body created by Boulder Town in case something else comes up, may conduct electronic meetings at the discretion of the presiding officer or by majority vote of the members.
Okay.
And then the second one says that there'll be in accordance with the Utah Open and Public Meetings Act. And what that has is a whole bunch of exemptions for not having to have a anchor location in case of an emergency. Those are there in state law. We just say you're in accordance with it. And then defining that all members present at the anchor location, which would be here, or participating electronically shall be counted for the purposes of establishing a quorum. And then that the notice of the electronic meeting shall include the anchor location, the instructions for how to connect, which is what has been done.
Okay.
So I recommend that the town council adopt this, and it'll basically codify and formalize what you've already been doing.
Okay, I agree. All right, does someone want to make a motion? Oh, we got to go to the public meeting, sorry. Okay, go ahead. Mark, come on up, thank you.
Mark Ellison speaking. I think this is first of all, I want to say it's good to see a full attendance tonight. You know, that's I really like to see that. And I think the ordinance that John wrote is very short and sweet. One thing I'd like to see added right up front is that a full attendance would be the preferred choice
of the meeting, the open meeting,
right? Because I do feel like we're kind of slipping towards more attendance by virtual attendance. I'm not sure if that's such a great idea. So I would just like you to add maybe that physical attendance would be preferred, right? Not required, but if you put that up front as a preferred. I don't know how you feel about that. You can discuss it, but that's my feelings on the subject. And other than that, I think it's short, sweet, and addresses all the required requirements. So, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else got a public comment? All right, I make a motion that we close the public meeting and go back into the open meeting. So we're closing the public meeting first.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, now I'll entertain a motion to open up the public meeting again.
Now we're going from that end down, Jimmy.
I'll make a motion. I'll say it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we pass this new ordinance. We'll discuss it after we do the right thing. And so I make a motion that we pass this. Do I have a second?
I second.
Now we discuss. Yeah, now we'll discuss. So, how do you feel about what Mark?
I like that.
I think it can be applied. I don't know if you can put a preferred in an ordinance. And so it'd be something that we'd have to look into. I mean, I think that everybody would agree, especially the council, but it's also not possible. And it's allowing us to continue, and it's allowing people that can function in their position when they can't physically be here, so we can keep moving. And I think that it can be implied that it's a preference, but I don't know if a preference can be put in an ordinance.
Okay.
Legally.
Thinking of you that point.
I mean, I think we can discuss that we agree that it's a preference, but I don't think you can put it in. Did that come up at all? Oh, yeah, this wasn't a planning commission. Sorry, John, I was thinking.
And, well, I think we all prefer that anyway.
Yeah. And I'm not sure, you know, like, if it's the preference for us or the preference, you know, because I mean, the one thing is look at how many people are participating. Yeah. And in some ways, if that's making more people participate, my feeling is that the more people that participate in any form are allowing us to do our job of representing the people in our community and our constituents. And so any way that gets more people to participate is a win.
Yeah.
Mark, are you talking about just council-wise for the board part of it?
I mean, you make a good point. I do prefer, I do, you know, I think there is a little bit of
Mark, wait a second. Come up and speak so it can be on the recording. I know Jimmy asked you to.
Okay.
Sorry. We just want to see how many times you can walk back and forth across the room. That's what happens if you show
up. Mark, yeah, exactly. You have to get enough, right? Yeah, so Mark Nelson, additional comments. Yeah, I like to see all the members of the council present, you know, unless there's, you know, extenuating circumstances why they shouldn't be here. You know, it's now I know a lot of people are more comfortable with virtual reality than maybe some others, but I just, you know, when I'm hearing, I know it's very confusing to have, you've got two meetings going on here. You've got the live meeting here, the people here, and you guys, and then you've got another meeting going here. It's definitely two meetings. And I just think that, you know, I'd like to encourage people to come and not just fall into the habit of just being here on Zoom, you know, because I know maybe it's not convenient sometimes. I'm okay with that. But that's not an excuse not to come, you know, because I think you get a better result in meetings if, you know, you're a live body there and you can look each other in the eye and you can have a discussion. And I see everything kind of sliding more towards virtual. And that's why I just suggested that there'd be some kind of language that would say that we'd like to encourage, maybe, instead of prefer. You know, if you want to talk about language, you know, that reading, maybe that would be a solution, a language solution, that we encourage live meetings where possible, or something like that. But I would just like to throw a bone to, you know, yeah, people showing up in person. So, on the vote.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Jennifer, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, I totally support the idea that everybody can be there in person. I, for one, it's really great that I don't have to be there, but I do want people to be there as much as possible. What I was, in reference to Mark Nelson's comment about there being two meetings at one time, I get that. I'm wondering, is it possible that the, don't know if it's possible, in the chat, sometimes questions and comments are raised in the chat that I think are really important comments for the town council or the planning commission to hear and to see and to be on record. Is it possible that the chat comments that are directed to everybody in the chat room or whatever this Zoom, is it possible that those be included as part of the record? And that is there a way that the council and the planning commission can see those when they are in person? I don't get the feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, that those are actually seen. They're only seen by the people that are on Zoom. So anyway, that would be my comment. If there's a way to include those comments in the chat, that would be great. I think they're important public participation. That's all. Thank you.
I assume that because they're happening like throughout the meeting, that public comments, just not at all times, but it can be something that during the public comment period, whether it's Lexi or someone else reads them so that they're addressed on public comment, but not, you know, like right now we close the public hearing and we're back to us. Now Jimmy directed a question to Mark, right? And so you include it, but it doesn't mean that at any point can anyone join the conversation. And some of the chats are during discussion and they're relevant, right? But at the same time, if people were live, and so it's making sure that we are creating one unified meeting, and that's up to us as we run it, whether it's Lexi keeping track of them, you know, or someone, sorry, I keep putting it on the spot, Lexi, but, you know, and saying like, okay, they are valid, but they have to be put at a specific time
to the public.
Would be, you know, and although it wasn't, because it, what, in essence, what's the difference when people email us or give us a hard copy letter and ask us to read it during public comment? It's still getting read to the record.
Yeah.
That is, you know, addressing that particular comment of Jennifer's. But to me, that seems like the appropriate time and place to put it in.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to work out something to see if we can't do that to get that in at the end and get it recorded. Thanks, Mark. Well, my feeling is because we need to have this, and I think it's important that people attend too, but I think for this particular ordinance, because this is strictly on the electronic meetings, that we should leave it as such. And that's my feeling on it. So now, any more discussion? All right, so I'm going to make a motion that we pass this ordinance, an ordinance allowing electronic meetings, ordinance 2022-3, as is. Okay, do I have a second?
We already have the, that's
all. Oh, that's right, the vote. It's backwards to me.
You're good.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes.
Judy, yes. Seriously, I always think that's backwards because it's, to me, you ought to discuss it before. And so I haven't even made that rule. All right. So it's passed. We'll make sure it gets into our ordinances onto American Legal and get it on the web. All right. Discussion and vote on the position of mayor pro tem is next. So, Elizabeth, I got the stuff together for you. And that you asked us to get last time, and the pages are there. I'm going to read the mayor pro tem front of it.
And you're reading it from the Utah Code for people to make sure they know.
Yes,
what you're reading.
This is from the Utah Code. Yeah, powers and duties of mayor. This part of it is powers and duties of mayor. Of the five-member council forms of government. This front page is the page that, if the mayor is absent, this is what the mayor pro tem is about. If the mayor is absent, unable, or refuses to act in the capacity of mayor, the governing body may elect a member of the governing body to preside over the meeting as mayor pro tem for. The mayor pro tempore has all of the powers and duties of the mayor during the mayor's absence or disability. The election of a mayor pro tempore must be entered in the minutes of the meeting of the governing body. The council member acting as the mayor pro tempore may still vote as a council member even though he or she is presiding at the meeting. The executive and administrative powers, authorities, and duties and cities of a five-member council form of government are vested in the mayor. The state municipal code defines these powers and duties. And that's what the other piece that you have in front of you. So, has everybody had a chance to read through those?
Yes.
If you'd like, I can read these out so the public can hear them.
I think too, at some point, maybe just also posting it, just as a link. I mean, just not even making it as a separate thing, but just linking it to Utah code. So if people are questioning what it is, they have access. I mean, it takes a second Google search, but just for us to have it on our.
Yeah, and it's tonight. Titled 10, pretty, Chapter 3B. It's
pretty straightforward.
Yeah, part one. It really is. It's, but if you'd like, I'll just read through it real quick, okay? That way everybody will know. Powers and duties of the mayor and 6-member council and 5-member council forms the government. Except as provided in subsection 2, the mayor and a municipality operating under a 6-member council form of government or a 5-member council form of government is the chief executive officer of the municipality to whom all employees of the municipality report. B, shall keep the peace and enforce the laws of the municipality, ensure that all applicable statutes and municipal ordinances and resolutions are faithfully executed and observed. If the mayor remits a fine or forfeiture of subsection 1C1, report the remittance to the council at the council's next meeting after the remittance. Perform all duties prescribed by statute or municipal ordinance or resolution. Report to the council the condition and needs of the municipality and report to the council any release granted under subsection and may recommend for council consideration any measure that the mayor considers to be in the best interest of the municipality. Remit fines and forfeitures. If necessary, call on residents of the municipality over the age of 21 years to assist in enforcing the laws of the state and ordinances of the municipality. Release a person imprisoned for a violation of a municipal ordinance with the council's advice and consent, assign or appoint a member of the council to administer one or more departments of the municipality, appoint a person to fill a municipal office or a vacancy on a commission or committee of the municipality, and at any reasonable time examine and inspect the official books, papers, records, or documents of the municipality or any officer, employee, or agency of the municipality. The powers and duties of subsection 1 are subject to municipal ordinances in effect on May 4, 2008, modifying the powers and duties of the mayor, and B, the council's authority to limit or expand the mayor's powers and duties under subsection 10, 3B, 303, 2A. For a municipality operating under the 6-member council form of government and for a municipality operating under the 5-member council form of government. So that's it. So that's what the mayor pro tem would be taking over. Now you have to decide who the elected person is.
I nominate Elizabeth.
And Gladys already declined.
And Steve?
I'm not interested.
All right. So I'll entertain a motion for Elizabeth as our mayor pro tem to appoint her into that position.
I'll second the motion.
Great.
All in favor?
Gladys? Yes.
Can I vote?
Great.
Yeah, happened.
I didn't even mess with it.
That's okay. I think we've got a majority.
Steve, yes.
Jamie, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. So, Elizabeth, our new mayor pro tem.
Well,
all right. And that could have come into play this week, but we were able to make it work. Okay, now conflict of interest training. Do we have Jason Watterson on the line?
I'm here.
All right. We are so glad.
My lighting is terrible, though.
Well, we can see you, and we're really happy to have you. He is going to conduct really quick presentation. He's from Utah Trust, and that's our new insurance company. And when I got hold of them, I had a conversation with him, and I was really impressed, so I'm excited about this. Elizabeth had suggested that we have this when we had the conflict of interest situation a few months back. And so anyway, Jason, we're going to give you the floor, and we're all going to learn something new.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I really appreciate that. Council, thanks for the opportunity to be here and present. The only downside tonight is I'm not in Boulder. There are two places as pretty as Boulder in the state of Utah, and I've seen them all. I get the opportunity to go the length and breadth of the state and help out our local government agencies. And so I love local government. I think that's the best form of government that we have. And I, as a matter of fact, I just finished I'm on a planning commission in my county. I live up in Cache County. And so I understand what you go through and the challenges that you have. My job at the trust, the trust is a little more than just insurance. We also help you with your risk management programs. And so my job at the trust is really to help keep you out of trouble. And advise you on various different things. We spend a lot of time training and doing risk assessments and helping you with any concerns that you might have to help you avoid lawsuits and to keep your people safe and healthy on the job and all of those things. So that's just a quick introduction to me and to the trust. Don't ever hesitate to give me a call if you have a question or a challenge. That's really my job, is to help you out. And if you want me on a council meeting, I'm happy to be there for that. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. This presentation tonight is part of a little larger presentation overall on ethics. And due to time, we've trimmed it down a bit, but we want to talk about some of the applicable laws regarding conflict of interest. But, you know, the overall theme is about ethics. Potter Stewart was a Supreme Court justice previously. And this is a quote from him. He said, "Ethics is knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what is right to do." And I think that's a great definition that he shared with us, because we know that ethical acts are legal, but legal acts may not be ethical. And so as we go about our lives doing whatever we do, and particularly when we're in public service, our ethical behavior is really important. Some of the things that we'll share tonight are straight up laws. They are state laws. I think it's kind of ironic that they're entitled ethics laws, because I don't know that if it's legislated, if it really involves ethics or not, but we have to think about that. What is the right thing? What is the right thing to do? We have laws that have been passed by our legislature, by federal law. We'll talk about acts that have been passed by the state legislature tonight that are specific to municipalities and municipal officers. And how we behave, where we have to disclose any conflicts of interest, those types of things. So please feel free to jump in and ask questions as we go through these. I know we're on a bit of a time schedule. You have a pretty full agenda for Boulder Town, more than I expected. I'll dive into the first one. This is the Municipal Officers and Employees Ethics Act. So this covers both elected officials as well as staff working for local government agencies or state government for that matter. And what it gives in this is a prohibition of using our office to get things. So personal benefit from being an officer in a local government agency. I can't receive gifts based around that. Loans at a really beneficial interest rate. I can't use controlled or protected information for my own personal gain or to do something negative towards somebody else. So if I have access to information that could benefit or hurt somebody else, and I intentionally use that to do either of those things, then I could be in violation of this act. Okay. And feel free, like I said, to jump in on these. I'm gonna go fairly quickly through these because I do have a number of slides that pertain to this type of material. This next one involves gifts. What kind of gifts can I get or should I get as an officer or an elected official? So things that are prohibited are loans at a low interest rate. So let's say, just for an example on that, we have a developer comes in and they want to rezone an area or get approval for a development. And on the side, they say, you know, you got a business there. Do you want to, I really like to invest in businesses. I'll give you a loan at 0.5% interest or 0% interest for 5 months. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'd sure like to get this development through. That's something that would be found illegal under the Municipal Officers and Employees Ethics Act. Pay for services at a high rate. Maybe we're doing business and somebody in the community that has a particular interest in something that's happening in the town hires you to do a job. You're a contractor in your day job or something like that. And they say, I'm going to pay you an exorbitant amount of money to do this simple job that would normally cost just a small amount. Those are prohibited acts as well. What about gifts? Sometimes you may go to a conference and companies like the trust will hand out a pen or will hand out something that has the trust logo on it or something like that, that we hope makes you remember the trust and continue our business engagement that we have back and forth. What's appropriate when it comes to a gift? And the legislature has set out on that it needs to be occasional and non-pecuniary. Now that's pecuniary is an interesting word. And if you know it, you're smarter than I am. Pecuniary means cash, right? We shouldn't be receiving cash as a gift. These types of gifts, these occasional gifts, should be valued at less than $50. And so as we look at those things, let's just take a really simple one. The town hires a construction company to come in and pave a road or to do a regular maintenance on our roads. And this contractor hands you a hat that has their logo on. Here's a hat. Well, we look at this and we compare it against $50. Is that hat worth $50? Nope. And so that would be something that would be okay under the act. There are other things like a public award. So sometimes you may or somebody in the organization may receive an award that is valued at more than $50. But it's something that's very public. So let's say you've worked with a specific group for your entire career. You've been there a long time. You've done great work with them, and it's time to retire. And they want to give you an award that is worth more than $50. It may be a plaque or an award or something like that, or a gift certificate. Those can be okay if it's done in a public setting. So if we have something like that, this group comes in, it's the Red Cross or some organization that we're working with, and they come into council meeting and they say, we want to award this gift. It's done in a very public way, then that might be appropriate under the act. I have to be careful. You know, if they're giving out a gold watch or something like that, I would be very hesitant for those things. But sometimes there may be an award, you know, it's a plaque, and it doesn't take a lot for a plaque to cost more than $50. Okay. Any questions so far?
No, not for me. Thank you. Okay. We're going to let her come up to the microphone so you can hear her.
Great.
Judith Giles speaking. My question is on terms of the under $50 non-cash awards. Is that a one-time or cumulative over the span of the person's employee employment or their office?
That's a great question, and I think that is answered in the occasional. So it can happen more than once. However, if you're getting a $50 gift every week, that's not occasional. That's something that's pretty regular and might be something that would could sway your opinion. Or a decision that you might make. That's really what we're looking at, would this gift really impact you? If I give you a pen that has a trust logo on it, is that really going to impact a decision that you might make? Probably not, right? And so I think that's a big part of it. When I was in business, I would have vendors come and talk to me about their products, and maybe I had a business relationship with them buying a product. Occasionally, they would take me to lunch, and so we would go out. Well, how does the lunch fit into this? Sometimes a lunch can be a valuable business tool to be able to discuss pertinent business and move things along, but. Is it occasional? If a vendor is taking me out to lunch every week or once a month, that's probably maybe over this line of being occasional. If they take me out to a really expensive restaurant, that would probably exceed that $50 and probably would not go along with this act. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So along with these in these Ethics Act, it talks about assistance in transaction for pay. Basically, we can't as public employees or elected officials receive compensation directly for somebody for doing a certain task. Hey, I'll give you some extra money if you move this proposal through quickly, or could you do work for me in helping me prepare my proposal for a plan for a development or something like that? Okay, so we should not be receiving compensation if we as an elected official or an employee have a business arrangement with somebody who is doing business with the city, we need to disclose that. And you may ask, well, at what level is that? And this becomes a little bit of a challenge, particularly in small towns, because they're small towns. And so most of us are either related or we're doing business with each other in one way or another because of the size of our towns. So here's what the Act says. We have to disclose interest in a business regulated by a municipality. If I have an interest greater than $2,000 in a business that does business with the city or town, then I have to disclose that. If I have a significant change in my interest in a building, in a business, buying or selling interest in a business that's regulated by the city, that's something we should also disclose. well, how is it? How does that disclosure take place? It could be in a public meeting. It could be a letter that you send to the council and say, here are the business engagements I have. I own a business in the city, or I have a certain interest in this business, and I'm going to disclose that up front. That's the nice thing about this is we can disclose it, and then it's out in the open. Now, there are times when we're making a decision about that, and we obviously, I'm sure you have procedures around this, we recuse ourselves from taking action on a proposal that directly involves us, directly involves a family member. Okay. Next part is... disclosure of investment creating a conflict of interest with the municipality. So similar thing, I disclose both my financial interests, but if there's a conflict of interest, maybe I have something in my business. Maybe there's a legal, legal disagreement between my business and the city. I need to disclose those things. Okay. All right. Any questions on disclosures? All right, I'm going to keep going quickly. I know I'm short on time. Nepotism. This is a challenging one in small towns because we're limited in the choices that we have for people to be employees. So as I just as I read what this says in this act, hold on, there is an exemption or an exception to this for small areas. No public officer may employ, appoint, or vote for or recommend the appointment of a relative. Like I said, that may be a challenge in small towns because we have a certain number of people and we only have so many people to choose from. There is an exception for this, and that may be that there's only one accountant that has these skills that lives in our town or within a reasonable distance from the town. And we need somebody to be our financial person, treasurer, whatever the office may be. And that person is the spouse of a council member, or there's somebody in the town that would be a direct report to that person. There are some exceptions for that. Now we need to be very careful with that. I want to be able to justify that was the only person that could do that. And so they may be very, very, special skills there. And it gets harder and harder if the job is to mow a lawn. And so we're going to look at those very carefully. We also should have some disclosure on that. This person is a direct relative and put down a decision that the council has made. We support this because of X. They're the only person with these specific skills that can do this job. Couple other slides on that same one. No public officer may directly supervise an appointee who is a relative. So in many of our, and this is not just small towns, but a lot of times we have family members who work for the same city. There's not a problem with that as long as we don't have direct supervision there. So you may have somebody that works in the public works department and somebody that works in, an office somewhere or works for the fire department. That's okay to do that as long as we don't have that direct supervision. And in here, no appointee may accept or retain employment if he is paid from the public funds and is under the direct supervision of a relative. So basically the legislature just kind of took it from both ends, from the appointee as well as the officers. Any questions on that? All right. This next thing is House Bill 163 that was passed probably 4 years ago. And this one, hopefully I just got a notice that said my internet is unstable. I hope you can hear me. This was, Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. This bill that was passed is regarding misuse of public property. And what it's about is personal use expenditures for state officers and employees. As a municipality, as a subdivision of the state, you fall under this. And so let's read here what it says. Personal use expenditure means an expenditure made without the authority of law that is not directly related to the performance of an activity as a state officer or employee, primarily furthers a personal interest of a state officer or employee or a state officer's or employee's family, friend, or associate, and C, would constitute taxable income under federal law. So what does it mean? It means we have to be very careful about the property that the city has. Here's a quick example. The city has a backhoe. The town has a backhoe that we use for public works. We use it to work on the water system, to work on the roads. And somebody that's responsible for that or a council member says, you know, I need a hole dug on my property. Can you just run the backhoe over there and do that? Under this bill, that would be inappropriate and potentially a criminal violation. This law, many people in local government agencies think this may have been a bit of an overreach, but it is what it is. And so we have to be careful how we use personal property. Let's go to the next page. It says, a public servant is guilty of a Class B misdemeanor if, with intent to benefit himself, herself, or another, or to harm another, he or she is knowingly commits an unauthorized act that purports to be an act of his or her office, or knowingly refrains from performing duty imposed upon him or her by law that is clearly inherent in the nature of his or her office. So that's the definition of official misconduct. Sorry, I kind of jumped ahead to the next one. Were there any questions on that last slide on House Bill 163?
We're good.
Okay. So I read that on official misconduct. So what does that mean? It means that in there are some specific words, intent to benefit himself or another. What does that mean? Are we using our office to directly benefit somebody? Or as we'll see in another one of these slides, do something negative towards somebody else. So that falls under official misconduct. And they call it a Class B misdemeanor, which is a pretty significant level of criminality. All right. Receiving or soliciting bribes. It basically says in here, a person is guilty of receiving or soliciting a bribe if that person asks for, solicits, accepts, or receives directly or indirectly any benefit with the understanding or agreement that the purpose or intent is to influence an action, decision, opinion, recommendation. And that's whether or not we actually receive the bribe or not. If there's a solicitation, then we're guilty of doing that. And I know this stuff is a little rough and we're never going to do this, but it's important that we understand the language that is used in the law and really the intent of what we're trying to do. We don't want money or other things to sway or change the direction that we go in performing our duties. All right. Next part, improperly disclosing using private or controlled or protected information. So as a municipality, you receive certain pieces of information. It may be through billing. It may be in other areas where you'll receive some information that could be detrimental to somebody else. If you release that information to somebody or used it for a nefarious purpose. And so in here, it says, it basically says it's illegal to use that information outside of our official capacities, and particularly if it's something that we're using to harm somebody or benefit ourselves. Okay, those were a lot of words, and I'm sorry I had to go so quickly on that, but I wanted to make sure that we covered those important laws in the state of Utah as it pertains to our actions as governmental officials. Do you have any questions?
Can you see the people online?
I'm sorry?
We're just checking to see if the people on Zoom, if anybody's got any
questions. Oh, okay. Yeah. And I promise I'm a lot more interesting when I'm not talking about these things. So these are not the most exciting items.
We have another question from Judith Guile. She'll okay. come up to the microphone. Judith Guile here. Which authority is responsible for imposing?
A great question. And in general, and I will point out that I am not an attorney, and anytime you have a specific question about this, I implore you to use your legal counsel for those things. But in general, many of these would go through the Attorney General's office. A complaint could be made locally, but probably would end up going through the Attorney General's office. Now, there are other avenues as well. There is the state auditor's office, but any legal action would probably proceed through the Attorney General's office.
May any party, an individual, or an elected official or an employee request an investigation by the Attorney General's office?
Yeah. Any resident of the state could bring a challenge like that to the Attorney General's office, and the state auditor's office also will receive those types of complaints, and they will do investigations as well.
We had a comment question asking, is there a law for not enforcing our codes?
For not enforcing codes, not specifically, as I know, that doesn't mean there may be something out there, but that's definitely something that as a resident, you can bring those types of concerns to the town council meeting. That's why we have these open meetings for those things. And you know, just going down that road, that's a fairly high bar, because if you think about your driving, if you've never gone faster than the speed limit, you can take yourself out of this out of this conversation. But there are a lot of police officers out there that fail to enforce a code that's in place. Right, the speed limit, and they may give you a warning, or they may sit there and allow you to go by. We're not out prosecuting police officers for failure to do that. Now, on the other hand, if we've got a police officer who just never does that, we can definitely go to the police chief or the sheriff of that. Law enforcement agency and say, this guy's out sleeping in his car all the time, and I never see him write a ticket, and people are driving by way too fast. That's our option to handle those types of things.
Okay. Anybody else?
Jason, is it possible to get a copy of these slides so we can put on documents for this evening's meeting for people?
Absolutely. Yeah, I will email a PDF over. Who do you want that to go to?
Ladies. Yeah, just Boulder, Utah. At
okay.
SC Internet.
Okay, just the general email there. Okay, for sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Once again, I'm happy to answer any questions. And I'll, as I send that email, my contact information will be there. And so you can definitely call me at any time, send me an email, and I'm happy to help out.
Okay. Looks like we got one more.
Yeah. This is John Barrett. I spent 9 years on the Air Quality Board and got lots of advice from the AG's office over that time about conflicts of interest. And I want you maybe for you to expand on the idea. One thing that we were always told was that if we were had an interest, for example, a planning commission member is subdividing a lot, then we're working on a subdivision ordinance and it applies equally to everyone who is in a similar situation. That typically was interpreted as not involving a conflict because it was generic and applying to everyone. So you might want, but it's an important distinction that sometimes causes people some unnecessary confusion about do they have a conflict of interest and need to recluse themselves, and the standard I was always told was, are you being affected uniquely different from anyone else who's in a similar situation?
Yeah, I didn't catch all of that, but I got the major gist, and yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you, John. All right. Well, Jason, we really appreciate you taking time out to give this presentation tonight. We thank you very much. And
thank you so much.
Other questions, or we'll look forward to what you're sending over to Judy and Lexi, and we'll get that up for people to see. So thank you again, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a great night. Enjoy Boulder.
You as well. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. All right. Next on the agenda is the road money approval for One Town Road grading and gravel. Jimmy's up on that one.
It's the road right in, going into Mark Jepson's road. The first part of it, not his actual driveway, it's just coming up right up to where our PRV sits for Boulder Farms that are there. That whole entire area is completely washed out. So I talked to Chad. It's $18 a ton for 1 inch, and we can haul up 24, and I think we can get one of them up there. I think we can fix that whole entire part of that big belly dump, and so it'll be probably with Sam grading and everything. It's $592 or under $600.
You said it's one belly dump or two?
One.
One.
So, $592, so just under $600.
So, did you talk to the cameras?
Yeah, Jay said he's not going to be able to get to it.
Okay, that was our first thing we would love.
I tried to get it free again.
Yeah. Okay.
Three is always good.
All right. So I will make a motion that we approve the money for that particular road and for that particular amount. Do I have a second?
I will second it.
Okay. Any discussion on this? All right. All in favor of this? Road grading and upgrading?
Pause.
Aye. Elizabeth, aye.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. It's approved. Okay. The town life. Gladys, I have been so busy this last month not being here. Did I send you? I was thinking about sending you both names. Did I ever send you both those names?
I think we just have to get somebody who's ever willing to do this chat room.
Yeah.
Willing to. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, very good. Well, the only thing that's missing off this, and when I talked to Corey yesterday, the timer isn't on here. So there will be a timer on here. Yeah. And Corey called him last night, but he hasn't got back to him yet. So we want to table this, or should we just have him do it? It can't be a whole 10 more because it's just the timer. This is 33.50. And with the timer, and then whatever it is to put in the timer, we're kind of.
Will you remind me what the limit is when you have to have at least proof that you try?
It's $1,000
to attempt more than one. Yeah. Thank you.
But we've always had trouble with
getting
anybody to do it. So.
And who's the bid from? Sorry, I didn't hear.
It's Chad Williams. He's the guy that did all. He's been replacing all the lights. So.
Anyway. Are you asking for a motion that is approving this with the addition to
the addition of a timer and it'll be a little bit more labor to put in the timer.
The addition of labor and a timer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion that we approve the bid from Chad Williams as it was quoted with the addition of a timer and the additional labor needed to install the timer.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? I think one of the reasons we really need to get it done is with everything going up, we need to get it ordered and try to get
these and lights. Delays. And, do we know if the parts are, obviously it doesn't change us ordering it, but do we know if these things are in stock or back ordered in the time frame?
Yeah, we didn't check it in on that. It's just, and it's one of those things, they're just going to have to get them ordered anyway if it isn't.
I'd say it would be worth getting when we finish it and add the timer and the additional labor to get a estimated completion date if we could. Just so you can report back for us to keep track of it.
Okay. We can do that for sure. Yeah. We'll get him to send another estimate with the timer and thing on it. But so all in favor of the approval of this with the timer and the extra labor on there?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, we'll get with Corey and have him give him a call. All right. Andy Rice and the discussion on 100 North Road. Is he here? And everybody has the map.
Hello.
And she's pulling it up. Lexi's pulling it up. I think the bottom of the screen. There you go. Okay, you're
Jeff
on.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I don't know if everyone is aware, but my wife, Andrea, and I have secured an opportunity to buy some land in town, and we'll need to access that property from 100 North, which is a slated easement that's not open. And there's a lot of work to be done to get that road opened up. We're here for guidance and request some assistance in getting that done. The job would entail grading out the path. There would be an approach from Highway 12 that would need to be installed. There's grade work that needs to be done, culverts to be installed, trees to be removed, fallen trees, dead standing trees, and a couple of live trees. And there will be hard surfacing to be done, and any compliance issues that come along will need to be monitored as that progresses. We are right now at the point where we can submit our subdivision application. And this is the last hurdle we have. We need to be able to state clearly what our plans and intentions are with the road. It's not a private road. So it leaves us with a little confusion as far as whether we are personally responsible for a share of that work or not. There's two property owners that would have direct access by this being opened up. Right now it would be Jackie Smalley. That would go to us at the bottom end of that road where it steps out. So just really looking for any information that the town can provide on that. Had some chance to talk to Jimmy and to Gladys a little bit, and it's kind of up in the air. It sounds like Jimmy and I are on the same page of being a town road. It's not too much for us to ask that the town jump in and help out, and we are certainly willing to do our part as well. Just need to know what that is.
Okay. I'm talking with Cindy earlier. She was talking about it landlocking their property. So I think we need to hear from Cindy. Yeah. Would you like to come up and talk, Cindy? Okay. State your name, please.
My name's Robert Wilson, and there was some confusion on that. On the notice that was put out, it was that it stated that he was petitioned to close that road. And so as it develops, he's setting up, you're saying he desires to have it open. We want it open too. We've got 8.5 acres down there at the bottom of that, but we can't afford to have that road closed out. We're to landlock us. So we agree with him.
Okay.
We're all for opening that up.
Okay.
It's
After it then possibly changed it. Yeah we did change it. Okay. Yeah.
And that's why it came to mind. It says, whoa, wait a minute.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, so we're in agreement with that. That's a good deal that he's pursuing this.
All right, thank you. Well,
okay, so Andy, can I ask for some clarification? Okay, show me up there about where it is that you're going to purchase property.
So it would essentially be just the other side of this lot line, if this is Highway 12.
Okay.
We come in along here. This would be the Mountains property, this side. This is Wilson property here. And this would be the corner of the Smalley property, which is what we're trying to subdivide and purchase here.
Okay.
And it goes all the way up to B Street, that's their property. So it goes up right there past where Scotty's place is, number 13 right there where it's slashed in half. Their property goes all the way up to B Street. The far left-hand side of the map, right in the middle. Two streets up from the yellow.
Oh, okay. I see it.
Yeah, so that's B Street okay, right there. So their property comes all the way up to, and goes right past that corner right there and comes up and slices down.
It begins about 300 feet past the cutoff of B Street there.
So what part of it then are you going to do, Andy, and what part do you expect the town to do? Because Jimmy was telling me something about you were going to grade or...
Well, one thing that Jimmy and I discussed, which we would be very happy to volunteer to do, would be to remove all of the debris that's in the way right now and to help our neighbor fix some fences. There's some fences that need to come out, some culverts to be installed, and some trees to remove. That work we're happy to do as the incoming owner. The thing that gives us pause, not being an entirely private road, is are we held responsible for perfectly graded, code enforced preparation of the surface, A, and B, are we responsible to bring in the hard surface, whether that's road base, gravel, asphalt in the approach, whatever that is, and are we expected to make those decisions? So the way that we think it would be best done would be for me to bring in some rental equipment and a contractor if needed, clear the path for the road to be graded, and then turn it over to the town at that point for their contractor to establish grade, certify grade, and then surface that road.
Okay, is that normally how it goes?
That's how we did it with Bryn's up there, because we had to make the road going into it so we could actually put the main line going down. And I know the Bryn's paid Sam to come in, haul the gravel or haul all the dirt and clear it away to put the road in. And then the town came in and paid for the gravel and the road base to put in over the top of it. that's as far as what I was understood on that road. So we've already kind of set precedence on making road, and it is a town road.
Yeah.
So
what I suggest is we get something writing about, okay, if we're going to open a town, if we're requested to open a town road, this is what we do. This is our policy.
Okay. Judy, how do you, you've been involved in that before? Is that something we just have to, all right, we'll get into that.
I'm trying to remember, I don't remember what we did when we went up to Connie Reed's house.
And is that a resolution? Because it's going off of something that's already in an ordinance. Sounds that, what's the...
I don't know, but there's ever been. Yeah, I don't think we've ever.
And I was going to say, the way that I see it is a town road going through there. And once the town, that road's completed, the town's getting paid for that road.
Yeah.
For it. So I don't think, if Andy's willing to go through and take out everything and get out, because we walked through there the other day and it's a nightmare.
So then our job would be to probably get some quotes on getting the grading done and getting the gravel in here. And that'll probably be minimal too, because, but we'll do it anyway. We'll put it out there and find out what it's going to cost us to do that so that we can get the best price for what they're doing.
Put a fence up, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
A fence along the road, our property that separates from the road, from pastures, the road fence.
Okay, so this is,
somebody's got to pay to fence the property back up again.
So this is what I'm saying. We need to, maybe we want to ask our attorney.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Okay, so, and I guess maybe we do need to make it an ordinance.
Well, and that's what, I'm not sure, like, if you know, Gladys is going to the right direction and it needs to be written. And I think it's kind of what we brought up and even like at the previous meeting and kind of, I think looking at some of our, like procedural bylaws and either reviewing or making sure that we understand and know, because even like, you know, the mayor pro tem came up under this thing, this will come under, you know, understanding and knowing what our procedural bylaws are, even, you know, the rescinding the fire restriction, right, that's coming up later, but we never actually passed the resolution to the ordinance. So in essence, according to our books, we don't even have a fire restriction to rescind currently, right? And so just making sure that
I thought we did that at the one meeting.
No, we just said something, but it wasn't actually ever listed. It's never documented as a resolution. So when you have an ordinance, at least this is my understanding, you have an ordinance, and then whenever you are adjusting it for that term year, it needs to be listed as a resolution. And so if you look back in the history of all the other fire, and I brought it up at one meeting and said, I knew that at that meeting, I couldn't come up with what it was called, but it is having it. And so in this process, whether it's, you know, asking Mark McKiff or making sure, but that we are having the correct paper trail, but that we're also helping ourselves for future things, like what Jimmy brought up and what Gladys is saying, but I don't, and if it is then going to a ordinance change and it needs to go to that, then because it's a land use thing, it's got to go to planning commission first and then come to us. If it's already there and it's just a resolution to an existing ordinance, or we're just creating a document of the agreement, then that's something different, right? And I don't know the correct one in this. I haven't done enough homework in it, but we do, I think, it kind of leads to future agenda items is us really dialing in on our procedural bylaws so that we're doing what we need to in the correct order with that, and being able to support Andy and Andrea in this one, but then being able to make it so the next time something, it just keeps getting simpler and we know what we're doing.
So what are we going to do then? Table it till next month is what we're going to have to do.
Well, and I think, you know, figure tabling it, but then also being reasonable, because it's, you know, Andy and Andrea are trying to make a process and their next step is going to the planning commission. If we learn before our next meeting that it's something that actually gets sent down to planning commission, support that moving quicker that way then, or letting them know, is it something that we actually can? So, I mean, no matter what way, we need to do some homework from my perspective.
Yeah, I agree.
To be able to support it so that they can do what they're saying and that the town is held accountable for what we need to put in financially and all the other.
Okay, so Judy, do you think Paige would look at the codification thing to see if there's any reference in there to you know what I mean? See if there's anything there, and then from there, I would say, do we need to ask our attorney? Do we need to make a new ordinance?
Yeah, we'll check.
Or what's the next step if we don't have anything there? If there's something there already, then we need to look at that and say, oh, then let's do a resolution or whatever to adjust it.
John.
Oh, go ahead, John.
John Brass here. I'm trying to make things a little easier for planning, and I think this is probably pretty straightforward since it is a platted town road. In effect, what you're doing is simply entering into a cost-sharing agreement between the town and an adjacent landowner to upgrade the town road. So he's offering to pick up some of the costs in exchange for the town maintaining the road they already own. So I think it's pretty straightforward under the ordinances. It's just like any other
road. Isn't it currently under ordinance?
Well, since it's a platted town road, it's no different than the prairie.
Anything. Yeah, that's what I just wanted
to sure. That you're doing work on the town owned road. And to incentivize you to do it, and he's agreed to pick up some of the cost.
Yeah.
So then the only thing probably we really need to do is check with our attorney and then also find out about the fencing, replacing the fencing, who's responsible for to make sure we're legal on that side too.
Because it's not just one adjacent landowner. And I did not do any because I originally got the incorrect agenda and I thought it was to abandon the road, and then it switched, but I haven't looked into any of this.
Okay.
And knowing it was just a discussion, it was preliminary, but it is a town road, so we are responsible, but we just need to make sure we move forward correctly.
Yeah, so whatever we decide, we have it in written form. Okay, if we open a town road, this is what we do.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we can do that homework because even just looking the codified, that's just the search and the codified ordinances and see if it comes up. But I think, and I'm happy to work with John or another planning commissioner and do a little bit and work with Jimmy to make sure that we, and if we need to coordinate and work with Mark McKiff or anyone else. But I do think that it's our responsibility to brought up to us and then for us to figure out what is the next step, whether it's in a public meeting or just passing that information to the correct parties.
Yeah. So basically, we are willing to, because it's our road to open it, we just got to do it legally and paper-wise the right way.
Yeah.
So I don't see a holdup for Andy.
No, and I think it's just, no decision needs to be made right now. It's just that we're saying, yes, we'll follow up. We'll continue to stay in communication with Andy and Andrea, with the Wilsons, with anyone that this affects, and we'll also make sure that we're doing it by the books.
Yeah. Okay.
Michelle.
As a comment.
Go ahead, Shelley.
Thanks, Jim. I can't see them.
That was the first one.
Are you there, Shelley?
Muted, so if you're talking, we can't hear you.
Thought I unmuted it. Now is it unmuted?
Yep, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Hey, I was agreeing with John about it's already considered a city road. And if somebody wants to come into any city road and wants to clean it up and so on, there's not a lot, like you said, to be discussed, only that I would say where you're heading legally is making sure that a paper is signed of a liability if somebody is hurt while doing it, if a fence is taken, water's hit, gas line, they just need to be aware of that. And so I agree with what John's saying. Does that help?
Yep. Okay. That's a good point too, with Randy doing that. So we'll talk to the attorney and make sure that we have all our ducks in a row. So. All right, moving on. Well, the discussion on rescinding fire restrictions.
I mean, I guess we should still do it. We should discuss what the county and the public lands are doing, but I think technically on the books, we never had one this summer.
And I'm going to take a look. Judy and I were looking for some of the resolutions, and some of our resolutions, they're there. We know they're there because I've seen when I've done some stuff. So.
And I think they just weren't actually documented properly. There's just a couple, and I think it should be a future agenda item that we should really work on our procedural things. Keep getting better.
All right. So everybody that I called the county, they've rescinded theirs, and Escalante has rescinded theirs, and
yeah, I think everybody went off of public lands that went off August 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody shortly fell after that. Because I think public lands is kind of just dictates everyone else's fire restriction.
All right, so Judy and I will dig in and make sure we got that.
Create a resolution.
Get that resolution done. But in the meantime, I'm rescinding that.
Just in case it's actually legal in there, you actually rescind it.
Make a motion to make a resolution to rescind the fire restriction.
Okay, anybody want to second it?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yeah.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, Judy, we've got to find that resolution.
So now is everybody legal to burn or not?
Yeah. Let's make sure we're clarifying here.
With some good common sense.
And it goes, so if you burn, if you start a fire, you pay for everything that gets destroyed in that fire. So just putting it out there.
Yeah.
So Jimmy seconded.
Yeah. And make sure you put a big star by there, and you and I'll get busy on Monday.
Yeah, because I think when I tried to look it up, I think we've only actually done two. Now I don't remember. I looked earlier. Resolutions since January.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the third one today on the electronic
thing. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was an ordinance, not a resolution.
Oh, that was. Well, we turned it from a resolution to an ordinance.
Yes. Yes.
You're right. I apologize. All right. Next on the agenda. Well, I think if we put one in. Well, we need to put one together. Okay.
I honestly don't know.
Well, we're going to have, what was the one that Steve did before on the fire? How was that?
That was a resolution. I looked it up and I sent it to you. It was the one that was done, oh, I don't know, it was spring of 2021. And it was a resolution.
And you think you sent it to me because I don't recall getting it.
It was after we discussed.
We were looking
it.
For that.
No, the old, and that you can just find if you look, it's in the codified, you can just search for it. That's how I found it. I'll look this week and send you what I found.
All right, send me what you found. Do it before next week because I'm out of town again.
I'll do it over the weekend.
Okay. All right. Approval of the August checks. Should be on the bottom.
What is work charges? Under house door.
What is your question, Jess?
What is park charges?
Yeah, some of them were park and some of them were fire.
The fire is like the fuel
stuff for like the that. Fire engine, yeah. And the so park, what's... basically, the park is fuel.
Oh,
okay. And
okay.
this is probably just about the whole year's worth of stuff.
Okay.
Right, we get it.
That's why I was like,
no, I went and we get a paper.
Any other questions?
Nope.
On the checks? All right, I make the motion that we approve the checks issued for August 2022. Do I have a second?
A second.
Steve seconded. All in favor?
Aye, Gladys.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, department reports. Gladys, we'll start with you.
Not anything exciting. Thanks to whoever cleaned the free box. And I tried to leave cardboard boxes over there. Anybody's going out of town and willing to take stuff to a thrift store, please just box it up and take it. And I try to whenever I summarize this regarding something. Because it does get kind of overloaded. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's all.
All right, Elizabeth.
Let's see, library posted on the pegboard as well, but they added hours. They wrote me before that, but so they now have Saturdays and Wednesdays. See, Boulder Arts Council had a couple things. So they recently had a collaborative show. This coming Saturday, they have the new opening that's up right currently. That's Alex Fuller's photography exhibit. And she's also having a reading. I think it's 5:30 is the opening, 6 o'clock is the reading. Let's see, the Utah Arts and Museums, the Utah Division of Arts and Museums sent them. They're the ones that sponsor and split the traveling exhibits that come. They sent a letter that just said your general operating support grant recipient, because that's through a grant to see these are those, you know, removable little things to see if we put in some window in this building since it's supported by it. So people, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in the front, it can be wherever we choose, but if everyone is comfortable with that, and I brought the letter that goes to the people who want to, Lexi's gonna give those to you. The Arts Council asked if it was possible for them to have access and keys because they're trying to get into all of these things and with the galleries and everything else to not, and so I said that I would bring it up.
Yeah, they can call. Yeah, they can get hold of you.
And let's see, Planning Commission, they've been lots of discussions about the housing forum that is scheduled for November 17th. Lee Nellis started talking about performance standards and deed restrictions, and that is going to be continuing next Thursday, those discussions. They've been having discussions of the fire hydrants, and there's a public hearing scheduled for this coming Thursday. For the next steps, the language, let's see, the last meeting it was discussed, which we had chatted about with the zoning administrator, and we asked them to relook at it. Both the zoning or planning commission and the public agreed that they felt April was in doing it in the position that they felt comfortable and confident in, and if and when boots on the ground are needed, it would be supported by those planning commissioners. Let's see, they have some upcoming things coming up. There's a bunch of culinary things, I think Gardner's, Vogel Fuller, and Sugarloaf. And I have one other thing from John Grant that I just want to make. Regarding roads, it's not on the agenda, but we discussed it last time. And the the planning commission is asking for a little bit more of a clear agenda of what we're asking of them.
Yeah, we just couldn't put it
together. So it's all just for people to know it's not forgotten. It's just moving to upcoming business in a future for us. And once that becomes clear, then it'll go to planning commission. So that was kind of where those were.
Okay, Steve.
For the parks, the parks committee is meeting tomorrow at 1. Purposes of any primary purpose is to select a chair and a clerk and secretary to replace Tina, who is stepping down, and to let them determine the size of the committee, the procedures for admitting new members. That's it.
Oh, I think that's a good idea. That's my opinion. Jim?
The dump, still I'm trying to get Dwight's over here. I just went and looked at it yesterday, and I'm guessing we probably have 5 to 6 semi loads of metal up there. This is just the metal, like all of the appliances, and also the berry pit. It is probably about 95% full.
So Sam's going to have
to dig another one. And that pit lasted us not even a year.
Hmm.
And so if we continue doing what we're doing, we are going to be out of the dump. So just saying. let's see. The road. So I finally got a hold of Tracy Munson with UDOT. He's going to get a hold of Dave Dobbs. And we're going to meet on Bird Trail to figure out what's going on, how to do it. He said if the town or the state doesn't usually cover a road coming in off of a state highway, but the way that it is set, and I could have told him, I said, well, it's still in your guys' right of way, like a lot of it's still in your right of way. He said, well, maybe if we can get money from the town, from the county, and the state, we could come in and help with all of the stuff. So,
what's all the stuff?
Just bring it back in, trying to figure out the how to do it, the engineering stuff on it, anything like that, and then the actual construction, things like that, because it's right on them. Like I said, it's right on their thing. And so if we have any construction at all, it's going to have to be done by the county or by the state. So I'll find out more when we meet after he gets on the dirt.
And how far down is that?
I told him we just need to fix just coming off of the Highway 12 right there, just where it comes in, because the whole entire area is always completely clustered. So that's why I told him to start and coming in, go to where the fire hydrant is.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Yeah, just to the fire hydrant, and then that way, because there's, I looked at the other day, I think their right way stops like 70 feet from where the fire hydrant is. So if we could just even get the opening of it coming in, or the entrance part of it, then. So, but I'll find out more as soon as I meet with them.
Okay.
Let's see, other than that,
so
fire department.
Let me just ask on the dump, what's it filling up with? Building materials?
So everything. There's like, I know a lot of it was Stacy's house that when it burned down, a bunch of it, but then there's tons of old hose, like the irrigation hose, plastic hose in there. There's stuff that's, it's just filling up with a ton of different stuff. So mostly building material. There's tons of building material.
Okay, because I thought that we were supposed to, when we did building, thought you were supposed to have to have a rolling part of the building. Have a rolling down there. So that helps us stuff. And I know rollways are available because I've seen the advertising. Maybe I've come from Richfield, or Panguitch, but.
I think, where did I just see some new rollaways? And I was like, wow, that's cool. Was it over in Loa? No, wait, where did I see it? It wasn't too far away because I was thinking that was pretty cool. Now I got to think about that. I saw it coming in.
We don't have any place else to.
No, I know. That's what when I was up there looking at it yesterday. I was looking at it just. I couldn't believe how fast it actually filled in.
How do we find
that was a deep pit too?
And how do we find out how much we have left? I mean, because when I talked to Donna Jean, she said there's a lot of places in there where it's so shallow with the rock and they can't dig.
So that fence line that comes in on the east side of the dump, right there, when you pull in, you're going, you're driving straight down towards the beginning of where you turn off the thing. That fence line that's there, is that where our property stops, or is it the next? Because I was told it was the next property over included in our lease also.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Don't we have paperwork on that somewhere? Because we had a big, we had that one landfill file. We'll have to look and take a look at it and see what it says.
Maybe we should put that on the agenda for next time, some discussion, what we're going to do about it.
Yep. Yeah, because I know parts of that bit in Santa Dug, it was over 10 foot deep in Santa Dug.
How many months ago was that now?
Let's see, when I talked to Sam, I think he said that he dug that last August. So.
And I didn't, I thought it was even more, I thought it was more into the fall.
See, that's what I thought too, but I think he said it was last August.
So it's close to a year. But still, that's ridiculous in a year. Yeah. I thought it was shorter than that, but.
All right. Okay. Anything else on the bird trail further down or?
No, not yet.
Okay. I just thought I'd mention it.
And fire department's open, so.
Okay, good. All right. Next month, October 6th, I'm going in for surgery. I've got to have a cataract surgery. I tried to reschedule it any other day, but with all veil surgery, I can't do it. So we could make it Friday if everybody's willing. I could get back for Friday at 7. That be okay? The next day?
That's for next month.
That's for next month for October. So that'll be the 7th of October.
You can't say that. I mean, we know it's something.
I think that should have been. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Sorry.
Okay. So if that's okay, we'll put it out there early so everybody's willing, you know that it's a day later. Safety school money isn't in yet. I've sent about 3 different messages. She was so good to answer me when we needed all the information. And then once we got the information, the last email I had said that she was talking to whoever was cutting the check and said, everything's okay, make sure you put it down. But I haven't, and that's been, it's been a month ago since we talked that last time. So I'll just stay on it. We got it coming. So, the NHMP resolution, we got in on time. I just wanted to let you guys know for the 5 counties that all got in okay. The mayor pro tem definition and the amendments, dual wording and roadside standards are just going to have to wait till next month because I haven't had time. So we will, I talked to Jimmy and we'll just, you know, we'll try to get that wording down and what we want to send to the planning commission and in this next month. So I'll have more, a little bit more time. But anyway, that's about it for what I have. I didn't make the meeting again because of traveling in Salt Lake. And okay, so that said, we will now take public comments. Cindy. And before she talks, I have an apology. She asked to get on the agenda, and I thought it had to do with something on the road or something that what was it, Jimmy, that was left there? Some chest or something that was left on the road. And I assumed that's what it was. And this is my fault. So I told her to that I apologize for not getting her on the agenda. So, but I want her to.
And I noticed, this is Cindy Wilson, I noticed meetings got a long time. You know, when I sit in those chairs, I was just always looking at that clock like, I wish people would shut up.
It's only quarter day, I've been walking there.
It's quarter, ten to nine. Okay, so what I want to talk about again is the need for the rocks and flower pots to be taken away outside the Circlip Motel. When I talked to Judy earlier in the evening, she mentioned how things had always had been there. Well, when my grandfather built it and my family ran it for years, and people just parked directly behind the motel for those two rooms on the backside. There wasn't picnic tables, washing machines, rocks, decorations. Nobody's trying to grow lawn on the side of the road. It was just, people just parked there and they went to their rooms. And I listened to the last meeting, the emergency meeting you had discussing this, and where, see, I don't think legally you guys could give them two parking spots, but that's not for me to discuss at the moment. But based on what the lawyer said, and then Judy wrote a letter, and then she said she rescinded the letter because my mom paid to have the property line surveyed so we'd know exactly where those road boundaries were. And I don't care how wide the road is, it's irrelevant to the property itself, the side of the road. And like the, how do you say his name, McGiff?
Yeah.
With Johnson's, I think it's perfectly reasonable to enforce the road issue. It looks to be clearly filed as a street. Their encroachment use over a long time doesn't give them the right to keep doing so. See, that's the key thing. They don't have the right to keep putting those rocks and flower pots where they are on the side of the road. Certain rights can be gained by adversely possessing a privately owned piece of land, but it cannot be done on land owned by the government. See, that road technically is owned by the government. And so the offsets on the side of the road are still owned by the government. I think an official from the town can go to them and nicely request removal of the items. If that doesn't work, they can be told that the town has the right under the law to consider revoking their business license. There's also a possibility that they could be charged with trespass or littering. They could also be told that the town may discuss forcibly removing the items from its roadway with equipment like a backhoe or snowplow. Hopefully none of these more drastic measures would become necessary. And I'm not looking to take away anybody's business license. You know, that's somebody's livelihood. But I expect the town to enforce the ordinances. And where they created two parking spots that you all said in your last meeting they should create, they started those parking spots at like 6 to 8 feet back from the building. So they're still parking right up against the edge of the road. As I came to the meeting and I came out, that first car was right there. So if I was coming and turning in, if I wasn't watchful, I might, you know, tap into that car. So it's a problem. And on occasion, the tourists not understanding about all the rock formations and decorations going on have actually parked in the road and have blocked the road. So it has happened. So if the day occurs that my mom needs an ambulance and that road is blocked by tourists because of all the decorations and everything going on outside the motel, then I'm going to be really, really upset. And so is my brother Bob and my brother Dean. We're all going to be pretty upset if our mother can't get the medical care she requires because the road's blocked, because tourists don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And so I expect the town to enforce taking away all those rocks, like has been discussed ad nauseum. Is there a reason I'm unaware of that the town is unable to enforce its own laws? That's a serious question. I mean, can anybody explain to me why we're still discussing this like 5 months later?
Well, we did because of we voted the way we did, Cindy, because of us just being a rural town and trying to work with the road width and being leaving that open enough so somebody could park there the way that it is. With just a few people going up and down the road, we discussed it and decided that we are a small community, and if we ever needed to length or widen the road, that we would have the option to be able to do that down the lane. But I personally have been here 14 years. I haven't seen it blocked that much. Now, I don't look down there all the time because I didn't look down there tonight.
But it happens.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen every time, every day, every week, but it happens. And then my brother Steve is
the road has never been blocked. Never.
Right now, it's public comment. So let Cindy talk. And then if we want to respond to your things, but you only get, I really appreciate you talking, but it can't just be a back and forth.
No, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to.
And Corey, definitely you should talk.
No, I was just saying the road has never been blocked. Sorry.
And those
sorry.
Things have been there.
And then since I really believe everybody should get to talk, but it's one at a time and it's public comment. And if Junior or anyone else in the town,
well, they should be
also respond at the end of public comment.
So my mom has told me that it has happened, and my brother Steve has told me that it happened. So it doesn't happen every day. It's not a problem every time. No, it's not. But they have no right. You can't give them rights to put rocks and flower pots on the side of the road, because the road is what it is, and we have property setbacks for a reason. And the road itself, it's not just the part you drive on that's the road, it's the part on the side of the road that's also part of it. So, and I wanted to give a case in point, and Gladys probably knows this.
Not on the agenda. These are public comments.
Anthony Coombs put in a cattle guard over there by Wendell's house, and he didn't ask permission to put in that cattle guard. And he didn't get authorization. The town told him to take it out. He would not take it out. The town paid somebody to go and take that cattle guard out because it was a town road and he couldn't go put in a cattle guard across a town road. So we have rules and ordinances for a reason. And usually bad things happen when we do not follow them. And I want to see some action as to this resolution of removing all that rock. And my mother would have appreciated if somebody would have come and talked to her, because she told me that she would have given them a piece of the pasture as a parking lot. As a, you know, not given the property permanently, so to speak, but she would allow people to park in her pasture. But since nobody has ever talked to my mom about the subject, then she couldn't offer them any solutions to their issue, but she was wanted to give them solutions, but people that are unwilling to talk to her face to face. So that's what I want to talk. I want to see the town do something about this problem, because I will keep coming back every single month and I will haunt Boulder. Oh, some people might like it if I haunt Boulder. Anyway, that's all to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Cindy.
Tina's had her hand up for a while.
Okay. Tina, go ahead.
Tina, you're on mute if you are talking.
Sorry. Okay, I got it. This is totally off the, this is just a comment. I've been asked by a group of us who play a lot of pickleball if we can actually get the town support to do some maintenance on it and maybe even use Corey. So this is for a discussion I know later, but I'm just bringing it up now. And town can let us know. I'll try and get some numbers together for the town and what we're doing. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. Anyone else?
Corey wanted to
sorry.
And I see Bob in the audience wants to. Corey, is your hand up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whoever's with the name says Corey on the.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
you wanting to make a comment during the public comment?
Yes, I do. I would like to make a comment.
Okay.
It's all yours, sir.
Okay, so Cindy just made a comment that I have got to address about nobody ever talking to her mom. I don't know what there was to talk about. First of all, nobody has ever talked to us about this problem. Donna Jean never once in 24 years we've been here, never once complained. Bob never once came to us and asked us to move anything or never once complained. Now Cindy is here. Cindy didn't come to us and complain.
We've been taking care of her.
She didn't talk to us. We've had ambulances in that road. We have never blocked. I personally have driven an ambulance down that road. That road has never been blocked. And I don't know what she's trying to get at, but all those things she just said were exactly the way we feel. Somebody could have talked to us. You know, if there was an option of Donna Jean giving us some pasture for parking, shouldn't that have been presented to us? I don't understand. That's
so lost.
That's where I stand.
Thank you, Corey. Bob, go ahead, Bob.
Robert Wilson, I didn't expect to be doing this tonight, but I've been advised by an attorney not to engage in conversation with them, to keep this conflict between the Johnsons and the town. This is on legal advice. I've spent a lot of money on this project. And yes, we have complained in the past, and that's, but this is just rhetoric. Right now, you've got to consider, earlier this evening, we had an ethics infomercial come on here. What was discussed was a state municipal code. It's under the criminal municipal codes. It is not state municipal codes. It's criminal administrative codes. 10-3-1304. That was the first part of his presentation. You cannot make any concession to a city employee, period. It's a second degree felony. That's something you need to consider. Who are you gifting that to? You're gifting it to a motel. Okay, who owns the motel? A city employee. So you've got a big ethics problem there. That's something for you to consider. You can't suspend the ordinances of private business, private parking, nor can you suspend the idea that this is a city employee. If he wasn't a city employee, that would alleviate a lot of concern there. But right now, 10-3-1304, from your infomercial, you've got a big conflict there.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Candace actually owns the motel. It's all under her name. It's not in my name at all.
Okay. Has anybody else got a public comment? Okay.
That's good.
This is Elena Hughes. I was thinking between the last meeting and this one about the issue on the turn out of the lodge onto the Birch Trail. And I wonder if this might be too simplified, but I wonder if instead of the blinking lights and the speed bumps, if there could just be a no left turn signal, because then you could still go out to the right safely. And I think it's mostly staff that uses the left-hand turn anyway, and they could go out the regular one on 12, and then it seems like it would be more affordable for the town and more simple in general.
Yeah, I think the speed bumps and lights had to do with that blind hill mainly. Am I right? Yeah, that's the problem, is that blind hill right there by.
No, not when somebody's key when they're coming.
Yeah. It really is a problem. I've been down that road too. So, but thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else? All right. I think.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
Not necessarily a public comment, but before it closes.
I think it might be helpful for us after the public comment to put as an agenda item in the future for future business, so we can like keep a radar on things, whether it's like immediate stuff for next month or just in the future. So as things come up from the public, that we're making, holding ourselves accountable to come back to them. And, you know, if you, the Planning Commission always has their public comment and then the upcoming business agenda item. And so it just kind of lets us keep things. Cause I know like last meeting, we talked about some things that we wanted to put to this month, but because things in life happen, they didn't. But that way too, that we're making sure that everyone knows it didn't just get forgotten and that we're like, oh, we're not doing it, that it is still upcoming business. And so if we just have a agenda item under public comments as upcoming business, it might help all of us and include, you know, things are coming up in the public that don't necessarily, because we weren't prepared to be able to respond right then, but then we can then make sure we add for next month. You know, obviously people in the public can request to be on the agenda at any point, but then we also are holding ourselves accountable for what is said.
Okay, so maybe you could get with Lexi and help her put something together, you know? That would be cool. Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for all their comments. And I believe that we could adjourn. I make a motion, we adjourn.
I second.
Hi. Elizabeth. Hi.
Steve. Hi. Jim.
Yes.
Judy. Yes.
Alexia, I'll send this to you. Thank you. Okay, good. How are you? Good.